All right, good morning, everybody. As you can tell, I am not Pastor Donnie. I'm filling in. I guess I am I'm on the second string. All right, if you would, turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start there. We're going to bounce around a little bit. But we're going to talk a little bit today about parables. And before we get going, let's pray, okay? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, and it guides us, and it shows us exactly what you would have us to do in our life here. So as we look into this, help us to be able to go in and glean from it and apply in the areas of our life that are lacking, and help us to be about your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. A parable. The definition of a parable, it's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And that's an okay definition, but I think the best definition that I have ever heard came from a young man named Tom French. I don't know if any of you remember Tom French. He was one of the Navy guys from years ago, and I'm talking 30, 35 years ago. He was one of the Navy guys' son, and he was fifth grade. I guess he's probably 10, 12 years old, something like that. And I was his Sunday school teacher, and we were teaching about parables, and I said, "Who knows what a parable is?" Boom! Tom French's hand went right up. And he said, I know. I said, "All right, Tom, what is it?" He said, "It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning." And I thought to myself, this is something else. This is exactly what it is, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It was like one of them moments, a Miyagi moment, you know, where the student has become the teacher. And so I think back all of these years, it's been, I don't know, 30, 35 years since I've seen Tom French. His dad got transferred, and I don't know where he is. He's a grown man somewhere now. Hopefully he's serving the Lord. But it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And as we start looking into this, Jesus spoke many times in parables. In Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 10 through 17. Let me read those, and then we'll go over them a little bit, and we'll move on to something else here. All right, chapter 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him he shall be given, and he shall have more abundant, and whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken, even he that haveth." In verse 13, Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is the fullness of prophecy of Isaiah, which say, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand. By seeing ye shall see, and ye shall not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes that they have closed, lest at any time they should see, and their eyes and hear with their ears, they should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I heal them. Verse 16, But blessed are the eyes of they that see, and the ears that they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which ye hear, and have not heard them." So as we go looking through this portion of Scripture, in verse number 10, we see the question, and the question is, why speakest they to them in parables? I don't know if you've ever thought about exactly why that happens. And as you talk to people throughout your life, many times they don't understand us. And the reason they don't understand us, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because it's foolishness unto them. I've talked to many people. I spent years in prison as a prison chaplain, and they just don't get it. Until you bring the gospel to them, and all of a sudden it's like a light comes on. When the Holy Spirit illuminates what you're saying, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit has to interpret it for them and show them exactly what's meant. So we see the question in verse 10. In verse 11, we see the answer. He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. You know, this whole book is written for us. It's written so that we can understand the times that we're in. It's written so that we can understand some of the situations we get into. It's written so that we can get through some of the huge problems that we have in life. How many of us have had huge problems? All of us, right? And there's been times where you get into a situation with a problem, and I don't bring it to the pastor. Sometimes I don't even bring it to my wife. I bring it to the Lord. And I ask God to intervene and show me exactly what he wants me to do. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to go to the Word and understand the Word. It's almost like it has a hidden code in it. And the only way that you can understand the Word of God is that you need to have the Spirit of God in your heart. When I got saved back in 1979, something happened. Man, I became a different person. I started thinking differently. I started acting differently. Praise the Lord for that. I started talking differently. God took my speech and he changed it. God took my heart, which was callous. I was a very hard-hearted person. And I knew I wouldn't get through this probably without tears. But these tears cost me. I made some very foolish mistakes as a young Christian. And God took those mistakes and he used them for his glory. And he's given me tears. Many years of my life as a young man, as a child, I didn't have tears. I was just tough as nails, because that's the way it was. I had to suck it up and do what I had to do. But now, here I'm an old man, and praise the Lord, God has given me tears. And I thank him for that. All right, verse number 12. We read in our text here, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and him and he shall have more abundance. And whoever have not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." So there's no spiritual discernment for somebody that doesn't know Christ. When I do things, when I talk to people, when I see people hurting, and I have to be very careful that the Spirit of God shows me exactly what he wants me to say, what he wants me to do. Sometimes I say nothing. I'm just there. Sometimes people just need to hear a sounding board where they can speak what's on their heart. And it's not necessary that we always answer them, but it is necessary that we listen. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody and all of a sudden, you know, you haven't even finished what you're talking to them about, and they're cutting you off and talking about something that they want you to hear. And I try not to be that person. I try to be the person that sits back and listens. It doesn't always work. Especially today, it's not working. I forgot my hearing aids at home. I was listening to Will talking up here. I'm thinking, man, he's not talking right. I'll turn my hearing aid up. I'm like, oh, I forgot to put him in. But that happens, right? Anyway, so we see there's no spiritual discernment. In verse 13, Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So this book is a book written to the believers, all right? It's written for you and me. I have to chuckle because I had got my first Bible. I think it was in 1962, long, long time ago. I got it in my Sunday school class at a Baptist church on the other end of town. And I never read the Bible. I had it, but I didn't read it. I didn't understand it. And I heard some of the stories in there and whatnot, but I didn't really understand the Bible until February 22nd of 1979. That's the day that Linda and I got saved. And when I got finished praying, asking Christ to forgive me of all my sins and to come into my heart and save me, when I got up after I said amen, something was different. It was something different. Immediately, things changed. Now, they didn't change. A lot of things didn't change right away because it took me over a year to get into the Word of God. It took me over a year to get into a good church. It took me over a year to get involved with other Christians who knew the Bible and could teach me. And the one thing I've learned from that is that we need to build each other up in the faith. You know, don't look at somebody and say, well, they smoke or they drink or they cuss or they do this or they do that. It's a changing process. It's God takes us from where we were and he brings us to a place where he wants us. And sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's not that quick. But just be patient. God's not through with you, is he? How many of us have things that are still changing? All of us. So we need to just stay focused remember that God is in charge and that God knows exactly what he's doing. Verse 14 and 15. It says, in them were filled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith by hearing. This is again talking about listening to the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, and an unbeliever who can listen to it, but to them it's foolishness. I've been 3 years trying to learn Spanish, and I'm not that good at it. After 3 years, I'm still struggling. If somebody was talking, I could pick up on what they're saying, but for me to find the words, it's hard. I'm blaming it on my old age, but it's just hard. We as believers, we need to get into the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God. I have to study Spanish because it's foreign to me. We have to study the Word of God. Why is the Word of God so important? Because it's the only thing on this planet that will really change your heart. It's the only thing that God can use to mold you and shape you to the image of his Son. So this is these two verses are talking about that. It's actually spoken in the Old Testament, and it's prophesied there when it talks about parables. All right, verse 16 says, be blessed, be blessed are your eyes, for they see, and ears, for they hear. Aren't you thankful that you can hear when God whispers into your ear? Now, God doesn't talk audibly to me, but he does speak to me through his word. There'll be times when I'll be reading something in the Bible and boom, it'll just jump out at me. There'll be times when I may have read something. I try to read through the Bible at least once a year, preferably more than that. But I love the Word of God. You know why? because it never gets old. It's always new. It's always fresh. I have a way of outlining my Bibles, and I just love the Word of God. It's new every day. Things that I've probably read through the Bible. I've been saved 40 years. I've probably read through it 40, 45 times, maybe more, not counting the studies that I do. But it's so important that you, as a believer, read your Word of God. It's almost like food for us, isn't it? You think of the Israelites when they were going out into the wilderness. What did God give them every day? Manna, manna, manna. He fed them every day, and it was new every day. This is new every day, even though I may have read it hundreds of thousands of times. There's verses in there that I've used over and over and over, and they don't get old. Go figure, right? It's God. It's God's Word. So get into it. If you're not into the Word of God, get into it. Make time to get into the Word of God. It's so important, so very important. You know, it's not just for the preacher. It's not just for our teacher. It's for you. It's for you as a regular person. You need the Word of God. This book will keep you from sinning. You realize that? It'll help you to keep your heart fervent and seeking after God, and it's so, so important. All right, so we are blessed. All right, number two here, Jesus speaks of many parables. There's all kinds of parables he speaks of in the New Testament. There's the parable of the sower. There's a parable of tears. There's the good seed. There's leaven. There's mustard seed. There's treasure hidden a field. There's a debtor. There's a merchant man. There's lost sheep. There's over 30, 40 parables in the New Testament, and God has them so that we can understand what he's talking about. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verses 1. And I'll get there. It just takes me a minute. Matthew 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, excuse me. Oh, drop my handkerchief. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. We're going to look at this parable of the marriage feast. And how does that affect you and I? All right, well, let's see here. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which was made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that they'd bidden to the wedding, and that they would, but they would not come. This is talking, I believe, about the Old Testament Jews. He prepared them for their Messiah, and yet when Jesus came, they didn't recognize him. In verse 4, again, he sent for other servants, that would be the Gentiles, and saying to them, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready, come unto the marriage. So as we look at this, this is talking about preparing for the marriage feast. I was trying to think back about my marriage feast, and I could hardly remember. It was so long ago. I don't even remember what we had. We had our reception at China Lake Restaurant in Uncasville. And that was many, many years ago, over 50 years. And praise the Lord, I'm still married to my first wife. That I am so thankful for. Why? Because I came from a broken home. I saw what sin can do to a home. I didn't know it at the time, but when I first got serious with Linda, and I thought to myself, if I marry her, she's the only woman I ever want to marry in my whole life. And by the grace of God, we got almost 54 years in. Right, babe? And for me, there's nobody else. God gave me the cream of the crop, and I am so thankful. So he's talking about the marriage supper here. In verse 2, says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And as we look at this, the king, I believe, is God, and the son is none other than Jesus Christ. In verse number 3, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden. I already read that. Verse number 4 I read. I'm sorry, I get a little behind here. In verse 4 it says, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So here's the invitation, if you would, to the marriage, but we're going to move and look at this from a different book, in the book of Luke, chapter 14. Just slide over there, Luke 14, in verse 16. It says, then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. We know, who does God want saved? Everyone. I do not buy into that God has preordained this one to be saved and this one not to be saved, and that you have absolutely no choice in it. I believe God, it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who did God die for? The whole world. Man either picks God or he doesn't. God doesn't force himself on us. I chose God. You know why I chose God? Because when I was 26 years old, I knew that I was dead in my trespasses and sins. There was no hope for me. And Jesus was my last hope. I'm 72 now. I don't believe that I would have made it out of my 30s had I not have gotten saved. God saved my life, and he saved me for this, to serve him. How are you doing on that today? Are you serving him? Now, we can't do what Pastor Meter has done. We can't do what Pastor Donnie's doing. You can't do what I've done. We have to do what God calls us to do. And each calling is different. And don't think that your calling is not important. It's very crucial to the things of God. I got a phone call, text yesterday at 6:30 from a friend of mine. We worked together in my last job before I retired. And he texted me and he said this. He said, Danny went home to be with the Lord at 4:30. Now, you all don't know Danny, but Danny was one of the tanker drivers for the place I worked at, and he was a Jewish man, and my friend Jerry and myself, we were working on Danny over and over again. I was trying to tell him about his Messiah. I was trying to tell him what God was doing for me. Danny died of cancer Saturday night. And when I went through cancer last summer, Danny took me aside and he was talking with me. And I said, Danny, that's all good. I said, but what about you? He had cancer. I knew he had cancer. And he went through radiation, and that's what I was going through. And he says, I'll be all right. I says, no, you're not. I says, you're not going to be all right. I says, none of us get out of this alive. I said, what are you going to do with your Messiah? He's like, I don't know, I think I'm all set. I said, I think you're not. And that was it. He didn't want to talk anymore. About 3 weeks later, my friend Jerry, he called me up. He says, pray for Danny. He says, I'm going over there with my preaching Bible. And he says, I'm going to try to lead him to the Lord. Anyway, the end of this story is Jerry led him to the Lord, him and his wife. And yesterday, he got to see the reality of his faith. Amen? We're not promised tomorrow. That's why we need to live today. Live today for Christ. Don't say, "Well, as soon as I finish school, I'll start doing something for the Lord." As soon as I knew a guy. He said, "As soon as I retire, I'm going to get involved in some kind of ministry." And I thought to myself, "Why wait? Why wait? Get busy. You may not retire." I got a text this morning from my son-in-law. And he says, early this morning, he says, Mrs. Bishop went home to be with the Lord. She's 98 years old, the oldest lady in his church. And she was sickly, and he knew she was close. And she died this morning, went on to glory. Danny went to glory. Mrs. Bishop's in glory. What about you? Are you ready? What if you were called to the supper right now? Are you ready? We're going to look at it a little bit closer here. Verses 16 Luke. Am I in Luke? Yeah, Luke 14, 16. We already talked about that a little bit. Verse 17. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all these things are now ready. You know, when somebody comes to church, sometimes they just come. When I first came to Lakes Pond Baptist Church, I sat right over there where Patty's sitting. I was on the outside, Linda was on the next seat, and my two girls were next to their mom. And we sat there because somebody invited us. And to be honest with you, I just came here to get him off of my back. 44 years later, I'm still here. And I'm so thankful that that person was so persistent that they kept bugging me and bugging me and bugging me. Finally, I said, I'll go. Just leave me alone. If I go, don't ever talk to me again about it. He said, okay. It's a good deal for me. Little did I know, God used him to change my eternity, change my wife's eternity, to get me in a position where I could raise my children under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because they were very, very small when we got saved. So by the grace of God, I hope they don't remember some of the stupid things that we did as parents. And I am so thankful that they had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. Now, we make mistakes. All of us do. That's why they put erasers on pencils. We make mistakes. What do you do if you make a mistake? There's been times when I had to go to people and apologize. I hate doing that. And now I try to keep that under wraps. So very careful with what I say. But I remember I had to one time go to Linda's dad and apologize for something I said. And it was very hard for me to do, but I had to do it because I didn't want to push him away from the cross. He wasn't saved at the time. Praise the Lord, he got saved later. But it's so important. So, so important. All right, verse 18 through 22, let's read that. Says, and I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be. I'm in verse 15, chapter 15. I'm sorry. Let's get back to where I'm supposed to be. Chapter 14, verse 18. Here we go. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. I go to reprove them, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In verse 21, and the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly unto the streets and to the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast command, and yet there is room. So we see that the rejection of the offer to go to the marriage supper here, and I would say to you, if you've never come to Christ, don't wait. Don't wait. Time is ticking. I look back in my life. I was young and now I'm old. Time goes so fast. The Bible says it says a vapor. It's here and it's gone. If you're going to do something, do it. We don't know. So we see all of these different excuses. And it comes down to this. That's just all they are, is excuses. What would keep you from coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of what he did for you? He died for your sins. Sin can't go into heaven. Heaven is a perfect place, holy, perfect. I can't wait to get there. There's streets of gold. It's going to be the shining glory of Jesus Christ is going to illuminate heaven. I get homesick. I've never even been there. You know, I'm just homesick. I've read so much about it. I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be good. But what would keep you, if you've never come to Christ, and you hear this today, what would keep you from getting saved? Nothing here on this earth is worth it. Nothing in all eternity is worth being separated from the love of God. And that's what happens. You're separated from the love of God. In verse number, we're going to go back to Matthew 22, back over there. All right, verse number 8. And they saith unto the servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So it's talking again about those that didn't come. And I actually believe this is talking about the Jewish people. In verse 9 it says, go ye therefore into all the highways, and many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. I am not of Hebrew culture. I am not a Jewish person. Although I have been adopted into that perfect vine. I do not believe in replacement theology. I do not believe that the church replaces Israel. God is not finished with Israel. He's gone to the Goyim, the Gentiles, which is what we are. He's gone to the Gentiles to cause the Jewish people to be jealous of what we have. We can talk to God at any time, right? I can talk to God. I can pray and ask God at any time. I can remember one time I was out in the race fishing, and the motor died, and the waves, if you've ever been out there, they're really bad. And I'm not a good swimmer. And I prayed, God, help us. Help me. And I was back at the back of the motor looking at it. And now you could relate to this, right? Stuck out there. You're stuck. I looked up and I saw the shift lever was in drive, and that's why it wouldn't start. I said, oh, praise the Lord. Went up, pulled it back into neutral. Boom. Praise the Lord. We're out of there. And listen, God opened my eyes, you know. So anyway, I got to stay focused. I get off on these rabbit trails here. I'll blame it on old age, okay? All right. All right, so verse 22, verse 8, the wedding is ready. They're not worthy. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways and byways. I just mentioned that, talking about the Gentiles. So that the servants went out into the highways and gathered together, this is verse 10, together as many as they found, and they brought both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw that there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. Uh-oh. Can you imagine going to a wedding? It's changed now because of culture here, but anytime I ever went to a wedding as a young person, probably up until the time I was not young anymore, 45, 50, you would get dressed up to go to a wedding. And now people go to weddings and cut off jeans and t-shirts and muscle shirts and whatever. This is how I dress for a wedding. I'm old school. That's the way it is. This is how I dress for church. Some people have asked me, well, do you wear a tie at your church? I said, not everybody. I said, but I do. Why? I said, because I want to dress up for Jesus. Some people don't. That's fine. But I have a conviction. God, show me this is what I should do. That's what I do. So they go to the wedding here, and there's a person who doesn't have on the wedding garment. And you think, well, what is the wedding garment? The wedding garment for what we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit. Remember when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit, correct? And I'm not talking about what they do out in the world with, you know, the Pentecostals and this and that and the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit comes inside and he lives inside of us. And when God looks at us, how does he know who's saved and who's not saved? Well, he's God. He already knows, right? But if I'm looking into this room right here, I know that the Holy Spirit is in me and God sees it. I know that the Holy Spirit is in some of you that I have been fellowshipping with for years. Some of you that have taught me years and years ago. I know the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit shines back to God. And when God goes up and down the aisles, in and out the chairs, he sees his Spirit in us, doesn't he? He's all-seeing, all-knowing God, right? If you're not saved, God has to look over you. I got to tell you, it must break his heart. He sent his only begotten son, his only son, the one he loved. He sent him to die for my sins, your sins, and you didn't do anything with it. I'll wait. I'm not ready yet. How long are you going to wait? Time's ticking. Today, Bible says, today is a day of salvation. Harden not your heart. If you know you're not saved and you need to be saved, get it done. Don't think about it. I hope so. I'll do it next week. Next week may not come. Do it today. Today is a day of salvation. Don't wait. Verse 12, and he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, having not the wedding garment? Now, this is so sad, because look what this man says. And he was speechless. The Lord was speaking to him here, and he says, how did you come in here without the wedding garment? You ever have anybody just look at you with a dumb look? Like, huh? When you just give them some information, that's just normal information. He didn't have the wedding garment on. And he was speechless. Then in verse 13, it says, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him out and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When I was studying for this and thinking about it, it brought me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, where the dead in Christ will stand before God and give an account, and they're cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says that angels are going to pick them up and cast them into the lake of fire. It talks about this person here is going to be cast away into outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a terrible place. It's a terrible place. And you know the sad part is that the people who don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, they go there on their own free will. God doesn't want that for us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. It's almost like you're spitting in God's face. What a sad, sad day. I think of people that I've known that I know they weren't saved. And I think, oh, what a sad day. That's what it really means to mourn. But for us who know God, it's just, I'm going home. You know, it's good. It's all right. It's tough. It's tough for those that you leave behind, but it's okay. And in verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 13 and verse 9, it says, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you here today and maybe you've never been saved? Are you here today and think, man, what if he's right? What if Ray's right? Well, I'm just the messenger. I'm bringing you the message from God. God loves you, and he wants you to go to heaven. What are you going to do with it? The good thing about, there's a good and bad about coming here today. The good thing is that you can get saved. If you choose not to, the bad thing is that you're going to give an account to God, like that one that was taken out because he didn't have the proper attire on. We are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God sees me, he sees his son in front of me. He died for my sin. How about you today? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure? I brought one of these up. 100% sure of heaven. I am. There's no doubt. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. How about you today? Bow your heads in prayer, please. Nobody looking around. I'm going to ask you something. Do you have the right raiment on? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you know if you died right now whether you'd go to heaven? Or would God take and cast you into outer darkness? If you've never been saved, today is your day. If you need to be saved, just put your hand up real quick. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to bring you to the front of the church. I'm not going to do any of that. If you need to be saved, just slide your hand up right now. Anybody like that in the room? All right. I assume everybody is saved. How about you? How about you that call on the name of the Lord, that you've already done that? Have you done all that you can do for him? Time's running out. We see what's going on in the world. Be busy for God. If God has touched your heart, come and pray. You can pray right in your chair there. But do business with God. Now's the time where you can make it right. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you called us unto the marriage of the Lamb. We are alive in Christ. We thank you for that. We pray, God, that you would help us to live for you. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.